Welcome to Parshas HaShavua. This week's Parsha is Parshas Matos Maseh. So it's a double Parsha. It normally is. Matos and Maseh are normally together. And they're always in the 3 weeks. Of course, again, we find the interesting connections between the Shabbos and the 3 weeks. This week we have the division of the land of Eretz Yisrael, the borders of Eretz Yisrael, where the Torah actually details the borders of Eretz Yisrael. So this is something, of course, very connected to the Geula, to the redemption, and so on and so forth. What I would like to do is share with you two short ideas, one on the Parsha of Matos and one on the Parsha of Maseh. So in the Parsha of Matos, we have the war against Midian. This is just after the story of Pinchas. Midian was involved in the plot to try and get the Jewish people to sin with the daughters of Moab and Midian and so on. And Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to actually send Pinchas out to lead the war against Midian. Nekoim nikmas Midian, to take revenge, so to speak, from Midian, because they were responsible for facilitating the failing and the transgression of the Jewish people, which brought about a plague and the whole story that we wrote about, that we learnt about at the end of Parshas Balak and the beginning of Pinchas. Now, two things are interesting about this parsha. First of all, as I said before, we always read the Parshas Matos in the 3 weeks. And in the mystical works, it is in Kabbalah and in Hasidic writings, it is brought down an interesting thing. The war was against Midian. It says, "Hey, Cholzu, you need to arm yourself and go fight against Midian." The word Midian comes from actually the word Modun Umeriva. Modun means conflict, machloikus. And the way the spiritual war of Midian is detailed is that it's a war against division, a war against hatred. Now, it's a very big Hashgacha practice, of course, that we read this during the 3 weeks, because we know that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of baseless hatred. And therefore, there's no better time to focus on and to think about the war against Midian, the war against baseless hate. It's not an easy war. We have egos, and those egos sometimes lead us to not tolerate other people and to create division and conflict for no reason, really. Obviously, we always try to rationalize it, but it comes essentially from the ego of not being able to make space for other people. And therefore, during the 3 weeks, it's certainly a time that we have to focus on the war against Midian. But there's an interesting, that's just on a spiritual level, but going back to the actual war, there's an interesting medrash, very interesting medrash on this parsha. The parsha tells us that the army came back from Moshe, came back from the war and told Moshe Rabbeinu, "We were able to wage this war of nifkad b'menu ish, and no one fell in battle." So it was a very unique thing. No one fell in battle. So the Medrash says, what was the schus? The idea really is that Moshe Rabbeinu sent righteous people, they were very big tzaddikim. He chose carefully. He sent those people who were really righteous people. Big tzaddikim. He sent them in to fight that battle on a different level. Unfortunately, now we know we're in Golus, and even though people fight the war, we also call them tzaddikim. But as part of the Golus, we don't always find that schus that no one should fall. But it says in Medrash that in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, no one fell in battle. And a special thing, says the Medrash, why? Shalai hiktim echad mehen tfilin shal roish, the tfilin shal yad. Because no one of them, when they put on their tfilin, did they put their tefillin, the head tefillin, before the hand tefillin? Now, we know that halachically, the two tefillins, hand and head, are two separate mitzvahs. And you're supposed to put the tefillin shal yad before the rosh, before the head. And it's a very interesting thing. What is that all about? Why was that so special? So I saw an interesting idea brought down in the Shvile Pinchas in the name of the Chassam Sofer and others, and he develops this idea, which I'll give over briefly. We find in the laws of warfare, where in Parsha Shoftim, where Hashem talks about how the Yidden should go to war when they conquer Eretz Yisrael and so on, that they were spoken to before. We know that anyone who was a chassan or just got married could return, anyone who just planted a new vineyard or built a new house. And then they would say to the Jewish people, Miho ish hayorei v'racha levav, who is scared, whoever's scared and soft heart should go back home, not to diminish the morale of the rest of the soldiers. Says the Mishnah, Rashi brings it down, that it actually means, what do you mean those people are scared? They were scared because they might have averus. They might have transgression, they might have transgressed, and therefore they're scared to go into war, lest the war affect them. What's that avera, right? So the Gemara says that if any avera, if they were worried about any avera, even the avera of making an interruption between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. Also, again, a similar sort of idea. What is that all about? So he explains an interesting concept. That when a person becomes a tzaddik, a person wants to serve Hashem, and a person reaches the level to serve Hashem properly, and on a different level, this can apply to all of us, there are two concepts. One is to conquer bad, and the other is to transform bad. Now we know we've got a Yetzer Hara, a Yetzer Tov, and the Yetzer Hara tells us to do bad things, but we also know that there's the famous Chazal which teaches us that we should serve Hashem with all our heart. And the word levavcha has two letters bays in it, which Chazal tell us it refers to the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. We're really not supposed to only serve Hashem with the Yetzer Hara, we're supposed to serve Hashem with the Yetzer Hara also, which means the Yetzer Hara has certain powers, certain strengths, that if channeled properly and strength and transformed properly, it can enhance our service of Hashem. So that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take things which are really, really seem to be fundamentally evil, and then we're able to transform them to good. However, not always possible. And we know that the way it happens is that really, when a person is initially in the journey of serving Hashem, the way to conquer bad is to conquer it, stay away from it, eliminate it. When a person has identified with that which is evil and is able to stay away from it, then eventually they attain a level of purity when they can come back and start to transform it. This idea is the concept of the Tefillin Shel Yad and the Tefillin Shel Rosh. Tefillin Shel Yad is at the side of the Yetzer Hara. We put it on corresponding the left part of the heart, which we know is the seat of the Yetzer Hara, with all our temptations and all our challenges, etc., etc., right? We bind the tefillin with our right hand. We use our right hand to bind the straps of tefillin on our left hand. And that's symbolic of conquering and prisoning and putting in check and putting in its place the concept of the Yetzer Hara. So the tefillin shel yad represents the first stage, the stage of conquering bad, conquering evil, staying away from evil. Then comes the tefillin shel rosh. The tefillin shel rosh, the head tefillin, represents great insight and great understanding, and the understanding of how it's possible even to transform that which is bad and to serve Hashem with both the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, which by the tefillin shel rosh is symbolized by the fact that it's on the head, but the straps of the tefillin shel rosh go down the body, one on the right and one on the left, showing that with the right perspective and the right understanding and the right channeling, one can serve Hashem both with the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. Those are the two straps. However, it is critically important that the order is done correctly. And therefore we say, yes, it is true, that the service of Hashem is symbolized in the tefillin. We know that Chazal tell us that the entire Torah is compared to the mitzvah of tefillin. So the mitzvah of tefillin is symbolic of serving Hashem in general, which is subjugating our heart, surrendering our heart, our emotions, and our head towards the service of Hashem. But we are told that the order is really important. Step one is tefillin shel yad. Step one is to conquer our taivas, conquer our temptations, conquer everything about us that is tempting us to deviate from the ways of Hashem. The Yetzer Hara, we've got to conquer it, put it into check, put it in its place. However, once that is done, then you can come to the level, once you've identified the evil, stayed away from it, conquered, eliminated it, then you come back and you can say, you know what, now that I'm fully focused on serving Hashem, how can I incorporate some of the aspects of the Yetzer Hara into service of Hashem? That's only step two. It's a step two that must follow step one. So now we understand, Moshe Rabbeinu sent great people. Who were these great people? They were very great tzaddikim, not just tzaddikim who had eliminated bad, but even tzaddikim who had managed to transform evil into good. But shalai hiktim, they didn't preface their rosh before the head. They did it the right way. They first did the tefillin shel yad, and then the tefillin shel rosh. First conquered bad, and then transformed it. Similar thing when we say about the person who cannot go to war. Who can go to war? Someone who didn't interrupt between the yad and the rosh. In other words, did the yad first, and then right away continued on to the avoda, to the service of tefillin shel rosh, which is the transformation of bad. A nice idea. Fits in a little bit to the concept that I want to share with you on Parshas Maaseh. A different idea, but it fits in also a little bit. Parshas Maaseh starts with Eile Maaseh B'nei Yisrael. These are the journeys of B'nei Yisrael, which they went through when they went out of Mitzrayim. And we know the famous Baal Shem Tov. Because what the Torah says is, the Torah enumerates 42 journeys until they came to Eretz Yisrael. So from Mitzrayim till Eretz Yisrael, they had 42 journeys, 42 stops, where they traveled from one part and camped in the next part. The Baal Shem Tov famously said that this is symbolic of a person's lifetime. We go through various journeys, and every opportunity, every experience that we have in our lives, sometimes there's different experiences, sometimes there's stops that we have to stop for a long time, sometimes we have to stop somewhere for a short time. There are things that happen just temporarily. There are things that happen in a long way. But they're all al pi Hashem. They're all by design, by divine design, designed to take us through the journey of life. And each stop, each campment has its spiritual purpose that we need to use to serve Hashem. Interesting enough also that at the beginning it says that all the 42 journeys are considered going out of Egypt. Asher yotzu b'nei Yisrael. Now we know, of course, when they journeyed, they didn't go out of Egypt each journey. They went out of Egypt only once, and then they went out of each different camp. And of course, the answer is that Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, is an ongoing process. Every time we go out of one level of Avodas Hashem, of serving Hashem, we go to the next level. After a while, that becomes our Mitzrayim. It becomes our limitation, and we need to go the next step and transform and go a greater, and so on. So therefore, all the 42 journeys, until we get to the final destination, which on a global level is Mashiach, of course. On an individual level, it's the end of our life when we fulfill our purpose, that we are continuously going out of Mitzrayim. Now, what we need to highlight, and this is something that Lubavitcher Rebbe explains in a talk, that we just have to look at this a bit more closely, because we know that some of those stops that the Jewish people made were actually not so good. They were negative. Right? So for example, one of the places they stopped was called Kivrois Hataivo, the graves of temptation, the graves of cravings. Why was it called that? We'd actually call that after a very negative thing that happened there, where the Jews complained and they wanted meat, and Hashem said meat, and they guzzled the meat down, the slough, the quails, and it was something that Hashem really was unhappy about. And therefore there was a plague and a sickness and so on, and they died, and they were buried there. So therefore the place became known as Kivrois Haitaivo, the place where the misavim, those that had the cravings and indulged inappropriately, were buried. That's why it's called Kivrois Haitaivo. Now, if we take this Baal Shem Tov idea seriously, that every stop in the Chumash is really symbolic of a journey of each individual person as they go through the journey of life, why would you want to include the negative ones? What purpose do they serve? And of course, the answer is very simple. The answer is that every opportunity in life, every experience has a purpose. What we do have is Bechira. We have choice whether we're going to use it, whether we're going to use it in the right way or the wrong way. Are we going to use it to grow, to challenge ourselves, to overcome difficulty, to overcome spiritual problems and become a stronger person? Or are we going to choose to fail and give in to the potential negative outcome of that particular experience? And therefore, it's brought down that this is the Baal Shem Tov was saying like this, that every journey is a part of the journey of growth of life. We just need to make sure that we choose it in the right way. So the example for this is this exact example I just gave. The Jews came to Kivrois Hataivo. Kivrois Hataivo is actually a symbolic of when we come to a part in our life where we have an amazing craving, a lust, a temptation to indulge in something which could be spiritually bad for us. Now that can happen to every person, and that does happen to every person, and that is a good thing. because it presents an opportunity of growth. Now, what can happen? What can happen is the choice can be made like it was in the Midbar, when they gave in to their temptation, they gave in to their indulgences, and therefore they died and they were buried there. Hence the name Kivrois HaTaivo. Or we can choose to do something different. We can do Kivrois HaTaivo in the positive. We can bury that temptation. We can make sure that it's held in control. We can have self-discipline. We can have self-control. Temptation gives us an opportunity to exercise self-control. It gives us an opportunity to channel our, or like the Maharal says, even like we said before about transformation, that actually we can channel that temptation to good things. If we have the power of temptation, if we're very tempted people and challenged people and we have a lot of cravings, we can try and channel those cravings to something which is holy, like davening, like learning, like getting involved in Kedusha. And therefore bury the negative taiva, bury the negative craving, a negative temptation. So that's why we can take Kivrois HaTaiva and it can become an opportunity, a journey of growth, a journey of spiritual strength, of becoming a lot stronger spiritually than you were before. And the same thing is with every station in life, the good and the not so good. The good, the inspirational ones, of course, give us the power to use also. It's also a choice that we have to take it and use it in a way where we can inspire ourselves and we can really grow in a good way. But sometimes it's not inspiring. Sometimes we actually encounter things which are counter-inspirational. They actually are drawing us down. They're challenging us. They're threatening our spiritual welfare. We need to know that's also a positive journey. It's a journey where we can learn from it to grow, to be resilient, spiritually speaking, and to become a better person. And that's the... Now, in the journey collectively of Kal Yisrael, it's the same idea. Like getting back to the 3 weeks, Golus is also a journey. But Golus and the challenges we have in Golus, and especially the times where it's difficult, we can also understand it to be a journey and to use it out to transform the negative and become stronger. But of course, our ultimate goal is to reach the 42nd journey, Yardein Yerechoi, which is outside of Eretz Yisrael, to be ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. And the same too now, we hope and we believe and we pray that we are at the end of the journey of Klal Yisrael, and we're now on the threshold of coming to our destination and experiencing the Geula, the Mashiach, and going into Eretz Yisrael, having a Beis HaMikdash, may take place very soon. Amen. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbos.